Good morning, Papa Springs. Hopefully you can hear me a little bit better. I know I had been a little too quiet in the past, but I do want to thank you all for being here, and for those of you who are with us online, thank you for joining us for the service today. We have a couple of announcements I want to go over. The first one is tomorrow from 4 to 6, we will still have the flu clinic, so that will be just outside of the Family Life Center. You will need your driver's license and insurance card. And a quick update on that, we also have children who are 4 years and older can also get the vaccine. So that is a quick update on that. Next, if you look down here, we have shoe boxes for the Samaritan's Purse. Those will be due on the 1st of November. So if you would like to participate in that, you can pick those up. Youth will also be starting back again this Wednesday. I know we were off a little bit for that, but we will be starting back again this Wednesday. If you need any more information on that, you can check the emails. That will be from 6 to 7:30. Also on Wednesday, we will have the adult Bible study here in the sanctuary. That will start at 6. So if you would like to join us for that, all are welcome to come. And for the last announcement, I would like to have Clyde come up and share about the van.
Thanks, Micah. And I'm just going to stay right down here. And since I'm down here amongst you, I'm going to keep my mask on. I think you can hear better. We were over there and I moved over here because I realized all the young people were over here and all the boys and girls. How are you boys doing this morning? Oh, I forget that all the time, don't I? These are my girls. Those are boys back there. Some of them are boys back there. Okay, we got to talk about our van. We've almost got it done. Look. Here's a place for the boys to sit. Here's a place for the girls to sit. Here's a place for the mamas to sit. And here's a place that's not finished yet. I guess that's the daddies. The daddies don't get to go with us yet, huh? We don't have that one finished yet. And now we can really go because we've got a motor. What do we not have? What's missing there? The driver. That's right. We can all get in and we can all sit there, but we won't be going very far at all without a driver, will we? Notice also there's no windshield here. If it's raining, it's going to blow in and get us all wet and make our hair curl. Not get us all wet. Okay. When we started off on this thing, we had, this is about a $60,000 vehicle, and it's going to last us for a long, 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 long time. You'll be almost as old as me when we're still driving this one, but not quite. Okay, here we go. We had almost $30,000 when we started. We needed 30, and so for the last month, we've been working on that one. And we have $17,861.92 of that one already here. That means we need $12,000 more. Almost there. We have 60,000 through here, and all we like is 12 more thousand. First couple of thousand will give the daddies a place to sit. That'll cover that window. Then the rest of it will give us a driver and a windshield, so we'll be ready to go. We're hopefully going to finish this campaign by next Sunday, so that's going to take us all working together to raise that last little $12,000. We can do that, so let's kind of all work together and get her done. We'll have it all painted up, and then it'll be ready to go. We'll get it parked out here, and we can go somewhere as soon as the bosses tell us it's safe to go. In fact, we could go somewhere and take 15 but in the van, but we could probably take 5 or 6 and spread out in there and put our masks on and could go somewhere anyway, couldn't we? I don't know where we'd go, but we could go somewhere. Okay, so let's work together and finish this one up, hopefully by next Sunday. Thank you much.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
Jesus, I surrender all to him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
Good morning. We're going to enter in our time of community prayer, but I want to first make a quick announcement. Jack Ware's family needs to be in our thoughts and our prayers. Jack passed away this past weekend, and Tuesday they will have the graveside service at 2 p.m. I'm going to do things just a little bit different than normal. So if this goes well, I'll maybe get to come back. If not, I'll serve the shortest deacon term ever. So, no worries, nobody else has to come up here and pray. But what I'd like to do is break down the word pray into four sections. And each section, for 30 seconds, I challenge you to pray in a certain way. The first letter is P for praise. During the next 30 seconds, just tell God how awesome he is and how thankful you are for him. It's not so much that God needs to hear it. You need the reminder of how good God is to us. So for 30 seconds, let us praise God. The second letter is R, for repent. That's sometimes an uncomfortable conversation to have, but it's necessary. With COVID upending our lives and schedules, we can get so busy that we don't own up to mistakes and sins that we make. and that God wants us to take accountability for. So let's take a moment to just repent. All right, we're halfway through. The next letter is A for ask. This is a time to ask God to intervene in different situations in your life. Some may be difficult, some may just be, just show me that you're there for me, God. You can ask for intervention in your life or someone else's. This may be a time that you pray for Jack, you may pray for Pastor Andy, or something else that is on your mind. So this is a time to let us ask God for help. And finally, we come to the final letter, Y, and that stands for yield. Offer your services to God to reach out to the needs of the world. It's okay if you run out of things to say during this section. Let God do the talking then. Hear where He is sending you. Let's yield our lives to God. God, you are so amazing and awesome. It is humbling to lead so many people in prayer and know that you heard every word and thought. I'm grateful that you listened to your people repent and you immediately washed the slate clean. I ask that you show up in ways this week to the people in this congregation and online that they feel your presence. If they need comfort, give them comfort. If they are seeking peace, give them peace. If they are in need of strength, give them strength. Lord, help us put aside things that distract us from you so that we can fully yield our lives. In your precious and holy name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew. Where are you? Thank you. Appreciate that. That was a good prayer time. We needed that. It's good to have that. Prayer's always good, but it's good to have a time of prayer together. Let's look at our scripture this morning. I'm looking at Acts chapter 21, verse 40, and Acts 22, verses 1 through 9. We're talking about the conversion of Paul, and I'm talking today about God gets his attention. God gets his attention. In our scripture today, Paul's been arrested in Jerusalem, and the crowd wanted to avoid the law and order process and just do away with him. Just go ahead and kill him. Finish up with him. The commander of the arresting party took him to a safe place and asked Paul, and Paul asked if he could speak to the angry mob. Can I speak to these folks? I need to tell them something. I'll pick up the scripture at verse 40, chapter 21. Having received the commander's permission, Paul stood on the steps and motioned to the crowd. When they were all silent, he said to them in Aramaic, "Brothers and fathers, listen to now to my defense." When they heard him speak in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. Under Gamaliel, I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers and was just as zealous for God as any of you here today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting men and women and throwing them into prison. As also the high priest and council can testify, I even obtained letters from them to their brothers in Damascus, and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. About noon, I came near to Damascus. Suddenly, a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" I asked. "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting," he replied. My companions saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you speak to us. You try to get our attention. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to take note when you try to speak to us, that we'll listen to you and hear what you have to say, because you have something on your heart and mind to share with us that we need to hear. I pray, God, that we will listen to you and do what you'd have us to do so that we can make the world a better place and change the world and change our churches and change this whole system. We can make a difference with your help if we just listen. In your name I pray. Amen. How do you go about getting somebody's attention? How do you go about getting somebody's attention? Sometimes it's a simple, "Psst." You hear that? "Psst." You look around, you say it. Or you whistle. Now, I would whistle, but I whistled the other day. And I hurt your ears, didn't I, girls? Yeah, so I don't need to do that. I'm not going to whistle. But you could clap your hands. You got my attention. You got my attention. You could cut the lights off and on. You can say, "Hey, hey." In a football game, a receiver waves his arms. "I'm over here. I'm over here." In my youth days at church, my dad got my attention when I sat on the back row. And I was a candy distributor back in those days. And my dad would look over there and he'd be going, he'd give me the evil eye. And he'd do this. I knew when I was coming, when I went home, I'd have a problem. I knew that. So dad got my attention. Kim gets my attention in church sometimes. Kim gets my attention. Sometimes it's a wardrobe malfunction. She'll say, or she could say, "That means your nose isn't clean." And that ends the sermon real quick. I told you folks that one time before. All you have to do is touch your nose and I'm praying. How does God get our attention? How does God get our attention? Sometimes it's sickness and ill health. Sometimes we get sick and have heart problems or difficulties of some kind. And God speaks to us. He gets our attention. How about losses? Loss of a job. He gets your attention. You know, I'm on my own now. I don't have a source of income. Or loss of a possession of some kind. A family member or a friend. It gets our attention when that happens. Success. It gets our attention. And failure, he gets our attention many times. A number of ways God gets our attention. How did he get Paul's attention? That's what we're looking at today. How he got Paul's attention. A bright light in blindness and the voice of Jesus. I haven't experienced that, but that would be something that would get my attention. It would get my attention. Paul had found his purpose in life. He actually thought he was doing what God wanted him to do. He thought he was doing what God wanted him to do. Eradicate, destroy, do away with this sect that could possibly hurt the Jewish faith. Do away with this Christian faith. Do away with it. He was on what he thought was a mission from God, which made him a dangerous man. He was on a mission from God, he thought, which made him a dangerous person. This misguided assumption has caused many problems in the church throughout the years, but that's another sermon. But he was on a mission from God, he thought. Paul was good at his job. He was good at it. He was talented at it. He contacted and sought the affirmation and confirmation of the high priest. Can I go get these folks? Can I go get them? He had to find them and secure their just punishment for daring to taint the Jewish religion. He was in charge of locating and punishing the followers of Christ. Case in point, the stoning of Stephen, we hear Paul first referred to in Acts 7:58. They all rushed at him, Stephen, the angry mob, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And they laid their clothes aside so they could really get some power behind the rock throwing. They laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, who was later to become Paul. This same Paul became God's envoy, God's ambassador, his evangelist, a Jesus follower who ministered to and reached out to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. Paul did that. He became a changed man. The hunter of Christians became the hunted believer. His life changed, and his life became rather challenging. It became difficult. It wasn't easy, which is a good point for us to realize that sometimes when we accept Christ as our Savior, life becomes more challenging. But that's okay. We can handle it because we have the strength that God gives. Paul described his life after meeting Jesus on the Damascus Road in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28. Here's what Paul said about his life. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews, his former supporters, 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I've labored and I've toiled and often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern for all the churches. Paul's life changed after God got his attention. It changed. Paul went from a life of privilege to a life of poverty and persecution. That's not a big selling point, is it? It's kind of difficult. It's not a big selling point. And in getting his attention, he changed the world, and it wasn't easy. He changed the world. Paul changed it with God's help. God gets our attention. We see it in the biblical scriptures. For Moses, it was a burning bush. The burning bush was burning, but it was not consumed. And Moses said, there's something to this. And God spoke to him. And Moses said, I'm listening. I'm listening. He got his attention. He saw something out in the wilderness there. For the shepherds and the wise men, it was a star and angels. We're going to be celebrating Christmas soon. It's a star and the angels. They let the shepherds know and the wise men know there's something happening in Bethlehem. There's something going on there. Do I have your attention? May I have it, please? You need to check this out. And they did. And they found Jesus. They found Jesus. For Paul, it was a blinding light. A blinding light and a FaceTime visit with Jesus. The glorified, risen Jesus. The Savior of the world. And a word from the Savior. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing this, Saul? I've said all that to say this. God is crying out for our attention. He's hollering for it. He wants it. We have a free will. We can listen to him or we cannot. It's up to us. How will he get our attention? What's it going to take? What's it going to take? Maybe he's trying to get our attention today. And probably so. Because I think he's always attempting to get us to take note of him. He's always trying to get us to take note of him and who he is and what he's doing. We always need to take note of that. We need to look for him working every day. And he continually... And it's up to us to listen. It's up to us to listen. We have the free will to listen or not to. He continually tried to get the attention of the Israelites. That's a story. That's a great story. He delivered them from slavery in Egypt. They saw his great deliverance. They saw the Red Sea part and they walked through it. It was amazing. And they continued to ask for miracles. He delivered them from slavery. And they responded with disobedience, rebellion, and idolatry. That's how they responded when he got their attention. He allowed them to suffer the consequences of their actions. He allowed them to suffer the consequences. And he sent the prophets to tell them they could do better. But they didn't respond. They responded by killing and persecuting the prophets, offering short-term and shallow acts of repentance. We're sorry, God. Now will you make it good again? And as soon as he made things better, they went to their rebellious ways again. When what God wanted was a change of heart. A change of heart, changing from the inside out. A change in behavior. When we change the heart, the behavior changes from the inside out. And a sincere and genuine response. Genuine. Real. When God got Paul's attention, he changed from the inside out. And he changes us from the inside out. Through and through. And Paul followed through. Paul followed through. He found peace with God in all of life's ups and downs. He found peace. We talked earlier about how difficult his life was. Now here, Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Paul says, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. What are your circumstances? Are you content? I've learned to be content in all of life's circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in every... Golly, Bum, I'm having a hard time today. Whew. I've learned to be content in any and every situation. Every situation. Can you say that? Whether well-fed or hungry. Whether living in plenty or living in want. I've learned to be content. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. God got his attention. God got his attention and gave him a secret. It's not so secret, but it's a secret. He blinded him, healed him, and he was introduced to the Savior who gave him these things. Gave him courage. Courage to face life and the difficulties of life. Gave him strength. Gave him peace. Oh, I love peace. Gave him peace. Gave him contentment. Gave him love. Changed his life with love. And joy. Joy. Faith and hope. That's a wonderful word, hope, isn't it? Hope. He got Paul's attention. He got Paul's attention and changed his life. He can do the same today for you, for me, and for the church. He can do that. How will God get your attention if he hasn't already? How will he get it? How's he going to get your attention? That's a rhetorical question. I'm not asking everybody to stand up and say how he's going to do it, but think about it. Andrew gave us an opportunity to pray a minute ago, and we prayed, and we searched our hearts about repentance and talked about other things, and we looked inside. Is he trying to tell you something? Has he gotten your attention in the past? We probably could have a testimony time. We're Baptists. We like these testimony times. How's God gotten your attention in the past? How's he gotten it in the past? And he can do it again. Maybe it's a difficult time in your life right now. Maybe he's trying to get your attention. Maybe you're highly successful right now. Maybe he's trying to get your attention. What's he going to do? How will he get it? How's he going to get it? It's 2020. Do I really need to elaborate on that? Do I really need to elaborate? A global pandemic. Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thought that? A global pandemic. If somebody would have said that 10 years ago, I would have said, you're crazy. This is the good old USA. We don't get sick here. A record number of hurricanes this year, folks. We're on Delta and all these others. I forgot my Greek alphabet, so, you know, we're going to be getting on down there somewhere. Louisiana's about to wash away. California and the West are burning up. And Sparta, North Carolina is our new seismic hotspot. Sparta, North Carolina. Hosting an earthquake this year that rattled the southeast. I was sitting on my couch, and all of a sudden, it started rattling in our house. And I looked at Kim and said, it's 2020. It's an earthquake. Well, the house is blowing up. Add to this the social unrest. Violence. Record numbers in Charlotte. I mean, they're breaking records on homicides. And heated political climate full of accusations and suspicion. It's ugly. And God has my attention. Does he have yours? People are quick to say this to me. I told you the story before about my daddy. When I took him to the doctor, he'd always say, my son's a preacher. And the first thing folks would say is, preacher, don't you think Jesus is coming back next week? They always want to talk about the end of time. People are quick to say, it's bad now. Preacher, don't you think prophecy's being fulfilled? Don't you think Jesus is coming back soon? And my response is this. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I simply choose to say, maybe he's trying to get our attention. Maybe he's trying to get our attention. I'll let Jesus come back when he wants to. That's what he's going to do. But he's got my attention now. We need him. We need him. Maybe he's trying to get our attention. Will we listen? Will we listen? Paul listened, and he found peace. He found peace. My, I'd love some peace right now. He found commitment. He found purpose. He found purpose, and he changed the world. Listen to the one who's trying to get your attention today. He can change you. Do you believe you can change? He can change you. He can use you to change the world. We can make a difference. If we really believe it, we can go do that. Begin today by committing your life to him. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Do it today. I received the greatest profession of faith in the mail the other day. A wonderful little letter. It tickled me to death. It's from one of our children in the church. It's very special. I'd like to share it with you. Preacher Andy, I want to be baptized. I want to show people I believe in God. I want to show people they can believe in God too. Show people you believe in God. Out of the mouth of babes. Out of the mouth of a child. Show people you believe in God who can change people and change the world. Show people. God's trying to get your attention. He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to get my attention. Will you believe in Him? Will you live it out in your life? Will you show others what God can do in a person's life? Will you show people that? Accept Jesus today. Confess Him as your Savior. Do that. That's the starting point. Confess Him as your Savior. Give Him your attention as you follow Him today. Thank you.
Will you pray with me? God, we come to you with arms full of grief as we've had to say goodbye to two more members of our congregation this week. Where our words and thoughts fall short, we ask that you provide comfort and assurance to stand on in the days ahead. So many of us are facing unknown days ahead. We're waiting for test results, surgeries, vaccines, and in some cases, entirely new medical discoveries. We thank you for gifting people with the ability to learn, understand, and discover. And we ask for patience to anchor us as we wait. God, these days are hard. The days we used to call normal were hard enough. It's more difficult to find glimpses of hope and light as we continue to wake up to the reality of a pandemic without yet a cure. But the darkest of moments this year have been from the pandemic of hate and division in our hearts. And God, we Christians, your people, the ones you set apart and called to be holy at times, have only fanned the flames. We, like your servant Paul, have wanted in anger and hatred to please a higher power and have found ourselves, as he did, further than ever from the truth, abusing and mistreating the very ones you've called us to love. Get our attention, God. We're so far from the truth, all of us. We've been blinded. We've been led astray by lies, selfishness, and self-righteousness. May we see again, but with your eyes, not with eyes that see with distorted political glasses. Will you unveil to us your plans? Not the plans we've dreamt up out of our biases and discrimination. Will you give us your heart? Clean us out inside, scrape us clean of judgment and anger. And even though we don't deserve it at all, forgive us. Save us from the broken reality we're living in, that we may once again be bringers of your kingdom on earth. Amen.
Thank you. Congregation, we want to thank you for joining us today. If you're at home, thank you for choosing to tune in and be with us this morning. And we want to take care of something before we close out for worship. Gary Poston. He's hiding away in our AV room back there. Gary, I know you hear me and see me. I need you to come downstairs. Heather, is he coming? While Heather goes and tells her husband to come downstairs. As most of you know, operating church during this year has been unusual, and it's been different, but we have been able to make it happen because we have a fabulous AV team that works upstairs every week. I don't want to go without saying a big thank you to Pat Litton, to Logan Knipe, Luke Reynolds, Caleb Harmon, and Floyd Queen, who all work upstairs to help make sure that our sound runs smoothly each and every Sunday, despite who's up here. So we want to give a big shout out to them. You can come all the way down, Gary. For the past couple of church council meetings, we would start off our church council meeting and say, "Gary, get out." And we never would give him any other indication of why other than, "Gary, we're glad you're here. Now get out." You don't have to come all the way up here. You can stand right there so we can all stare at you. This morning we want to recognize Gary for all of the hard work he's put in, not just during this pandemic, but throughout the past, I don't even know how many years you've been doing this, but Nicole's going to present you with something, and I just want to read to you one of the things you're going to be receiving. It says, "Dear Gary, this year has brought its share of challenges, one of those being how to effectively reach our congregation with worship when we can't meet in person. Because of your selfless assistance and expertise in AV, we haven't missed a beat and have been able to reach people far beyond the borders of our small community. Over the past year, you have given so much of your time to ensure our church was still reaching its members, not only on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week as well. Your church wanted to show our appreciation for all of your hard work that goes above and beyond your volunteer job title, not just this year, but always. On top of your budget for the 2020-2021 church year, the church council, along with the finance committee, has allotted an extra $1,000 to be used towards any extra bells and whistles that you would like to purchase for our AV ministry. This is a very small token of our gratitude for all that you do, and it still does not adequately express our love and appreciation. We would not be as successful in our worship and ministry efforts without you at the AV helm. You are truly a blessing to our church, and we are thankful each and every week for your willingness to serve enthusiastically and selflessly in this way. We look forward to seeing what you have in store for us technologically in the future. With love and regard, your church family. So, Gary, we want to say thank you. Yes. Not only have we put on our worship, and it has reached, that's one of the blessings I think we found in 2020 is that even though we've not been able to meet in person for a long period of time in the year, we were able to meet a lot of people who may not have even graced the doors of our church by having our services streamed online. So thank you for that. Thank you for how he spent all day yesterday. We have new lights up on our ceiling, along with some others. He spent all day yesterday getting those installed for us, and he has lots of plans in store for our church to keep us up and coming with the times. So, Gary, we're very appreciative. The staff has also given you a little something just to thank you for getting us through the stay-at-home part of this pandemic and for helping us to survive as well. So, Gary, thank you again for all that you do for our church. We appreciate it. I want to remind you that your deacon of the week, you saw him earlier, is Andrew Day. If you have any concerns this week and you can't reach somebody on the staff, he'll be happy to assist you, as well as any of our other deacons. If you will join me before we leave, we will pray together. God, we thank you for the chance to worship in your house again this morning. God, we thank you for those who are present with us, God, but there are so many who are present with us in other parts of our community, and we thank you that they're able to join us. God, we do thank you for Gary and all that he means to our church and for his selfless ministry that he takes on through our AV, God. We are blessed to have him, and we thank you for how you are working in his life and in the life of that ministry. God, as we go throughout this week, I pray that you would get our attention. God, even in the small things that come our way, God, get our attention. Rouse us to want to spread your word, to do better for you, God, to love others better, to dig into your word, God, to speak to you, to spend time with you, God. Get our attention. God, we thank you for Andy and for his message this morning, God. And God, we just thank you for these moments together. Go with us now into this week. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.